Good morning. Now I'd like to have you travel with me east, and I'm going to talk with you this morning about the Communities Putting Prevention to Work initiatives targeting physical activity in the built environment in a particular region of West Virginia. So we'll be giving you a little bit more of that rural context now over the next few minutes. First, I have no relationships to disclose. Just to give a brief overview of what I hope to cover with you over the next 10, 12 minutes or so, just to highlight some of the work that's being done, to highlight the project focus and goals, some of the key demographic characteristics to help you understand the context that we're working in, as well as some of our targeted intervention strategies, some of the evaluation activities that have been taking place in relation to those intervention strategies, some of the key results and methods that we've used for evaluation, and finally, some of the lessons learned and next steps. As I was mentioning, the Mid-Ohio Valley is the six-county region that's been funded through CPPW, and that's shown here. It's located in the northwestern portion of West Virginia, bordering Ohio. The focus of our initiative through CPPW has been strictly obesity prevention, and related to this discussion this morning, our goal for physical activity has been to increase the percent of youth and adults meeting physical activity guidelines. Now, again, I just want to reiterate that this is very important to keep in mind that this discussion is happening and these initiatives are taking place in a largely rural context. And as many of you may be aware, this is particularly important considering the higher obesity rates and rates of physical inactivity that we often see in the literature in rural areas, and particularly in low-income populations, of which West Virginia is certainly one. This is just a snapshot just to help you understand a little bit of the population density and population distribution throughout the region. The darker colors here, of course, indicating regions of higher population density. So our largest pocket is really in that upper left-hand corner, and you can see some of the population distributions throughout the six counties in that table listed above. West Virginia is consistently ranked among the top five in terms of rates for adult obesity, commonly within the top 10 for states with the highest rates of childhood and adolescent obesity. Looking at a regional snapshot of YRBS questionnaires that were administered just last year among 9th and 10th graders in the region, we see a snapshot of approximately one-third of our adolescents in that region meeting physical activity guidelines. So definitely some areas and some important places to move the needle here. Looking at age-adjusted estimates from 2008 using BRFS questionnaires, you can see there that over approximately a third of adults in the region were noted to be inactive. And also, it's important to note that a lot of these are, again, based on self-report. So as we dig a little bit deeper, we might see that these rates are even, unfortunately, a bit higher than those reported here. Here we just give a snapshot of some of our intervention activities, our community action plan activities, rather. So I'll just talk you through some of the activities, and then just to save time, just let you review some of our outputs that we're working towards and short-term outcomes. So we're looking at providing connectivity training. There's definitely a lot of groundwork that's had to take place, looking to really educate the community and major stakeholders in policy systems and environmental change to really help people make that connection and how this all links up with health. So providing connectivity training, really looking at coalitions and our county coordinators to help them develop this understanding to then forge ahead and help us implement our initiatives. We've also looked towards developing connectivity plans to make this kind of a system-wide change, as well as presenting this information in an ongoing manner to our policymakers to help that inform future policies. Second to that, we've also been looking to assess trails throughout the community, look at usage, and also consider installation of signage. Certainly, we do have a rural area. We do have some nice opportunities for physical activity, but the awareness of those opportunities is not always there. Looking at some of our baseline data collection as far as what we do on the evaluation end, our county coordinators are submitting to us monthly reports. This started back in the summer of 2010. And within these reports, we're really looking to track their activities. So as part of this, we've been looking to implement a policy tracking matrix. And one of my colleagues that's in the audience has been consistently doing this, coding the policy, so we can really look to see what policy changes have taken place in the area of the built environment. In addition to that, we've also looked to do trail audits, and this started in the fall of 2010. Coordinators were first asked to identify trails in their region and then take steps forward looking at specific characteristics such as the location, surfacing, and lighting. After that was completed, we then set them out to conduct trail audits looking at users by type, whether there was signage, and we adapted a section of the EPIRS developed by Brian Salins and colleagues in order to do that. So this is just a snapshot. We, of course, conducted several trainings with our coordinators before sending them out into the field. In total, our coordinators identified 49 trails throughout the six-county region, which I'll talk a little bit about more, that this was a great jumping-off point, but definitely did not capture the universe for us. We had 11 trails that were selected for observations, and you can see that we had them go out into the field and observe both on weekdays, weekend days, and at different times so we could really try to capture a good snapshot of trail usage. And this is just a screenshot of the measure use. So it was very user-friendly just to be able to do tally marks and kind of record the weather and conditions the day that they were out. So from the baseline results, no policies related to the built environment had been noted at baseline, so definitely some great opportunities to make improvements there. As far as our trail audits, 10 trail audits, or 10 trails in total were considered in our final analysis. We did have to have one of those thrown from our final analysis. As you can see there, the users by type probably differ a little bit from what you might see looking at some of our larger communities and the presentations this morning, but it's important to keep in mind some of the population densities there. And certainly some of what we see is that these trails where we have zero users are areas where there were very few opportunities for signage or little awareness. 70% of the trails that were observed had some signage. Of those with signage, you can see some of the distributions. They included signage for use, trails or indicating distances, so that was only approximately one quarter of those. And then you can see trail name and map were also consistent. So as I was talking about previously, the trails in total from what was observed by the county coordinators, they had indicated 49 trails. With national parks data and what was available also in the state, it was very difficult to really come at being able to capture the universe of trails. So one of the steps that we looked towards in reviewing this evaluation data, looking at what we had, was that a consultant was hired to go out and inventory and map all trails in the region. So this was, honestly, a tremendous resource and will be a lasting legacy to these communities. In going out, the consultant was able to describe all the current trails, geocoded all of them, created maps, and was able to also identify areas where signage was very much needed. And then all of this was then validated, so this was really a wonderful process that was really designed for conducting such inventories. The trail reports were then prepared for each county as shown here, so each county now has this as far as community planning and their coalitions to have an incredible resource to work from. So using this data, using the trail inventory data has really taken two important forms. It's been very important in guiding the selection of trails for trail signage activities. So as you can see here, that just displays a map showing different access points in the Wood County region of the Mid-Ohio Valley. So really being able to target where the major access points to trails are in order to make effective use of signage. In addition to that, it's also been incredibly important in helping to spur connectivity forums. So being able to look at maps like this to get community planners together with coalitions to identify we have a trail, but it doesn't quite bring into the community, because even though we're rural, we still have small town, we still have hubs. They may not be on the order, obviously, of downtown LA, but they still do exist, and that's where our community centers are. So being able to make those opportunities and walkable environments, it's on a smaller scale, but it's still very critical, and I think that's what's shown here and definitely an important component of the work that's being done. Some current updates, trail audits are ongoing and being completed, that should say 2011, and there's some interest even with the health department that beyond the project that they'll continue to do some trail observations. We're continuing to do policy tracking, and currently you can see we started at zero and we have established some county level policies, MOUs, and resolutions, so relating to being able to use schools for physical activity. Seasonality is a huge issue, so not only outdoor trails and tracks, but also once it comes winter, to be able to use the hallways for indoor walking, so that's been critical as well. Promoting trails also is a huge, huge issue. So as we move forward, we'll be looking towards incorporating information and promotional materials into our WIC clinics, into local grocery stores. And WIC clinics are a particularly important population because they have some of our highest rates of obesity and economic disparity. Some of the challenges and lessons learned we'll just discuss briefly. Arriving at an operational definition has certainly been a challenge for us. We ended up feeling that it was very important to include school trails and tracks, which is not necessarily common in the literature, but a very important resource for our rural environments. Tackling the issue of signage certainly was a challenge at first, but we feel like this system of inventorying the trails and what we've been able to do is really a great model moving forward to do this. And sharing baseline evaluation with a state management team on an ongoing process has really offered a great opportunity to reassess activities and timelines. Moving forward, we definitely have some sustainability initiatives in place, hoping to look at opportunities for grant funding to support additional connectivity projects or in order to implement connectivity projects moving forward. We have some opportunities to post our physical activity resources, and we also hope to connect and continue to make connections between school districts through local wellness policy committees and the community change that's happening in order to further promote physical activity interventions. Just like to quickly acknowledge our collaborators on this project and, of course, the CDC and communities putting prevention to work.